changing things is my thought for today. Thought for today, teaching things. How long have you been in a given school? How long have you been with any school? Now, a normal school has a curriculum. And in the curriculum, you learn from A to Z. You learn book one, book two, book three. In a school of the masters, you learn a different way. You learn in a way that you have encouraged the teacher to teach you because you are ready for things. And when you're not ready for things, you don't get them. Even though the teacher may have taught it, because there are some who are ready and some who are not. But when you're ready, you get it. Now, Swami Raman, writing the teachings of life and living with the Himalayan masters, in there he tells he met one of the students from his master who was teaching a class by the side of the road. And he stopped to listen. And the young fellow was showing the listeners how to cut up an ant. Very obnoxious type of thing to do. And as he finished cutting up the ant, he said, "Now, voila." And the ant was all back together again and crawled away, untouched. Every limb back to where it belonged, every segment in proper order, none in reverse order, but all properly done. And the Swami looked at the young man and said, "Hey, that's good. Where'd you learn that?" And the young man, knowing the Swami, said, "From your master." "You learned that from my master? How could that be? He never taught that to me." "Well, I learned it from your master." So the Swami ran back to his master and said, "Master, I met this young man on the road cutting up an ant and showing people how to put it back together again. Voila! And it worked. And you never taught me that." And the master said, "You were not there when that lesson was being taught. You were not there when that lesson was being taught." Now, why wasn't the Swami there when that lesson was being taught? For one purely logical reason, you cannot be in a human form in all places at all times. The Swami was listening to some other teacher at the time that his master was teaching that. And his master doesn't have a whole itinerary of things that he teaches and say, "All right, now, all of you students are here today, you're students 1 to 30, and I'm teaching you these things. Now, these are the A, B, C, D, E, F, G." And then one of the students is ill or unable to be at the class. And he doesn't hear H, I, J. And then the next day he comes back, and then he gets L, M, N, O, P. And so, you see, he misses some of these lessons. Now, the teacher doesn't repeat the lesson just because the klutz was sick or because he wasn't there, for whatever reason. The teacher just goes on with his itinerary of teaching. When the student is ready, the teacher is there. The teacher is always there. The teacher is always teaching. When do you come into the class? Do you come in midterm after missing the first half? Or do you come in the first half and miss the second half or any part? Are you ever homesick for a day or a week or even a month? If you are, you miss a great deal. And then you try to make up. And you make up a great deal. You take the textbook and you read all of the mathematical formulas that you missed during that class or the history or whatever. But you don't get the little nuances that the teacher gives, which makes learning a delight, which makes learning an exciting, wonderful adventure. Well, here in the School of the Master, here in the University of Healing, the program is similar to that. We have course books which are excellent. And you teach yourself with the course books. And you learn a great deal. And as you apply the courses, your life completely changes. Your life completely changes because you have opened up a new vista. You've opened up a new understanding. And in opening up a new understanding of yourself, you are able to receive a greater variety of learning ideas. Whereas if you didn't open yourself up, you would be credulous about it. And then you'd be incredulous about it. And then you'd be credulous, and then you'd be incredulous. You would believe and you would not believe. You'd believe and you would not believe. One day you're on, one day you're off, because you might have missed something. Or because in your background you may have understanding taught to you by other philosophies or other teachers who had other attitudes in their mind about what you were learning. For instance, where is God? Most people learn that God is outside of them, perhaps on cloud nine, that God is over all, in all, through all, and all that sort of good stuff. But to say that you are God and that God is in you, that is a new topic, a new idea. For a number of years, I taught all about the pyramids. And I taught about the pyramids being a learning center. And we had quite a nice series of adventures with the pyramids, learning all the levels of the pyramid, learning where I go every evening to do some special training of others and things like that. It's fascinating, and myself too. But it's a fascinating program. And then we had another series of sessions about Mount Shasta. And this was a fascinating series that we had. Everyone took it to heart very deeply, and many felt, wow. Did any of you in the Mount Shasta series come to the conclusion that Mount Shasta was in you? Did any of you ever come to that conclusion? Because that wasn't stated, but that was the fact. Did any of you ever come to the conclusion that the Great Pyramid is within you? You loved to go to the Great Pyramid, to go into the upper level, the discipline level. You loved it. You loved my descriptions of it, and you just relished them and said, more, more, more. You loved the stories about the upside-down pyramid in the bottom of Baja. How can a pyramid be upside down? How can it be right side up? You just love that. And you love the story of the other pyramids. You love the Bermuda Triangle stories. And you thought, are they real or are they not real? There's enough evidence by official sources to indicate that the Bermuda Triangle does seem to exist. And does seem to exist by official sources is quite a statement to make. But where are you? Where are you when I'm sharing ideas called teaching things? Where are you? Are you with me? Or are you wandering off somewhere into the land of Nod? Are you wandering off mentally when I'm talking to anybody? If a great teacher were in a room and were talking to anyone, everyone would turn an ear toward that great teacher and want to hear him. But after a while, being in the presence of a great teacher, and the great teacher treats you all like normal human beings, actually, the great teacher is treating you like divine human beings, but you're treating the great teacher like a normal human being. And so therefore, you don't have any respect for what the great teacher says. And the great teacher can be talking to one person or several people, and you go about your work. I have work to do. I can't go there. I cannot go and hear the teacher. Or even if you're standing there, you say, I have to leave and go do my work. My friend Bob was with Elizabeth Clare Prophet, who is a channel for everything. And one of the things she's a channel for was Jesus. So one Saturday afternoon, she scheduled herself to speak to her group as Jesus. And Bob was tending their store, their bookstore. And he says, I got to tend the bookstore. I can't go here. I said, what? Jesus is speaking and you can't go and hear him? What did that tell me about Bob? What did that tell me about Elizabeth Clare Prophet? I mean, as wonderful a woman as she is, a super lady she is, I mean, she's built up a tremendous organization. People believe in her and follow her. Summit Lighthouse type of group. And they're wonderful. But what did Bob think of her? Bob thought of her a human being, pretending she was Jesus. Now, why did he stay there? Why did, well, his brother was there too. But aside from that, why did he stay there? He stayed there because it was a comfortable thing to do. He didn't believe. If he believed, he would have hung on every word that woman shared, as a master that she is. He would have hung on everything that she offered to her students. He would have been her most devoted devotee, standing by her, wanting to touch her garment, wanting to do anything to be in her presence, to see his own mastership. But no, he was merely interested in a pleasant place to be and to be near his brother. Now, he didn't want to be so close to his brother that he wanted to be buddies with him all the time, because each had different jobs doing different things. And since then, his brother Jeff got married, and he has 5 children, and he lives off on the East Coast, and who knows where Bob is now. Or their other brother, Peter. See, they had a whole family, but I'm bringing them up not because I'm saying bad things about Bob, but I'm just saying this is what humanity does. When they have a great teacher, instead of wanting to hear everything the teacher says, wanting the teacher to go on and share with them in wonderful, beautiful ways, they say, whoops, the program says do this now. Whoops, the program says do that. Whoops, we got to run here, we got to run there. If the channel is open and the flow is good and beautiful things are coming forth, encourage it to continue. Elizabeth Clare Prophet spoke to hundreds of people, perhaps thousands, at a time. And she would have her auditorium filled with people. And she would come out there with her lovely gowns and her lovely radiance. She's a very beautiful woman. And she would appear on stage before these people, and most of them would just worship the person. And most of them didn't hear what she said. They just were in the presence of some glorious being, and they knew that. But that's why sometimes when a person dresses so beautifully, when a person themselves is such a gorgeous person, people tend to worship the person. We tend to worship the movie actors because of their fine looks, their beautiful tailored clothes that they wear on the show, especially tailored for whatever their size may be at that moment, let in and out by their tailor to fit whatever their diet may be, but always form-fitting. But you have a tendency to enjoy the actor, the best actor. Now, does the best actor mean that they portrayed the character that they were portraying to the finest degree? Or does it mean that they portrayed themselves to the finest degree? It could be either way. But when you have a teacher who is teaching you and sharing with you and teaching you things, follow that teacher. Why do you think Swami Rama's teacher sent him away to other teachers? Because he was a pain in the neck. Because he wasn't paying attention. Because he wasn't listening. But his teacher felt there was some value in him, so he sent him to other teachers, hoping the young man would pay attention and that he would lose his very, 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 very great pride. But he held on to that pride until his death, through his death. You see, the pride is thinking that just because you are becoming a teacher, just because you are becoming a sharer, that you're superior to anybody else, that what you have to say is so important. I tell you all, don't take Jesus away from people. Give them God. Don't take coincidence away from people. Give them the law of cause and effect. But don't take the coincidence away. Don't take the Jesus away. The minute we take that away, we have lost the people, because they're not going to let you take it away, because that's all that they've known. That's all that they believe. Rather than take it away, add it to the symbols of God. The Hindus have been doing this for thousands of years. Every time somebody worshiped something that the Hindus felt was really not God or not the divine, they called it a god. When people worshiped sex, they called it divine, they called it God. And then they had gods of sex. When the Hindus worshiped the crops, then they created a god of fertility, a god of the crops. When the Hindus worshiped buildings, well, what do the Japanese do? The Japanese have a special program on how to orientate your house to the elements and to the energies that are around, and how to orientate your bed and your furniture in the house to the energies that are around it, to have the most salubrious use of the energies available. Now, there are people who believe in that 100%, and they're benefited by it. And there are people who don't believe in it, and they're benefited by their non-belief, because whatever you believe, this is what is carried out for you. We are not controlled, manipulated, or in anything by the energies of the universe. The meridians that continually move across the pattern of the earth, the meridians of our body, the unseen energy lines of our body, and that the acupuncturist or pressure person can touch and know where it is. And they have lines, but the lines seemingly come from nowhere, going nowhere. But they work. They work. They show you how they work. They believe it. Now, if you don't believe it, you will take away the greatest healing agency of your being, belief. If you don't believe that the doctor is good, if you don't believe that your lawyer is good, if you don't believe that your mother and father are good, if you don't believe that your boss and your job are the finest in the world, you are unhappy there, and you soon won't be there. If you don't love your mother and father and enjoy them as sharers and teachers, they die an early death because they're not necessary in your life. If you don't like your job and your employer, you soon are out of a job and finding it difficult to find another one. Because if you love your job and you move from job to job as an asset growing more wonderfully in your creative ability, such will be so for you. But if you don't like your job, you've nothing to start with. You've only to conclude and then go on welfare. Why do people walk the street? Why are there street people around? There are street people around because they have lost all faith in themselves. They have lost all belief in their community. They have all belief. You say, well, hey, they're just being themselves and having fun. That's right. But the selves that they are being is not the self I would like to be. I would not like to be a self that has no confidence in myself. I would not like to be a self that did not find happiness wherever I go. I would not like to be a self that had to be on the largest of others, having be on the dole, having everybody pay my way. I'd like to do my own thing. But look at here, every person coming into San Diego gets $220 a month just to make sure they have a place to live and something to eat. Well, if you can live on that, you are really living on virtually nothing. You have no desire for yourself. You don't want a house, a car. You don't want a family. You don't want to go to the theater. You don't want to do the things. You don't even want to eat, because you can't do that on that. So you live under the bridge. So you live in a primitive manner. So you give up. Now, is that your source of wealth? Is that your source of money? That's what you're taught. What is our source of everything? Ourself. When we believe in ourselves, all the doors open up. When we believe in who we are, all the doors open. Teaching things like this is not always a happy situation. People don't like to hear that. People like to say, oh yes, the street people, they're doing their own thing and having fun. Oh yes, the people who are in the hospital, they're doing their own thing and they're having fun. Oh yes, the people who had people dear to them who have died, they're doing their own thing and having fun. Oh yes, everything, doing their own thing and having fun. Hey, that's great. Let's not murder doing your own thing and having fun. That's a silly thing to do. Just because you haven't been able to utilize it for your highest good, don't toss it out. Being yourself is what everyone can be. But if you're being what the world expects of you, what the world thinks of you, because if you're a wealthy man, they expect you to be wealthy. If you're a poor man, they expect you to be poor. I don't want to be limited by what the world might think about me. But they only think about me what I think about myself. And if I'm a wealthy man, and I don't show it, I enjoy my life, I have everything, but I don't flaunt it. I don't say, ha, 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 ha. Ellen and the group were standing on a pier one day, and a boat sailed by, and they said, hey, give us a ride. And the fella came by and gave them a ride. They had a wonderful time. Spent a couple hours riding in the bay out into the ocean and back. And when they got back, they got on the boat. Thank you very much, sir. Not once did they say, you must be very rich to have a boat like this. You must be very intelligent to have a boat like this. You must be very special to have a boat like that and to believe in us and to come over and pick us up and things like that. Not once. What was said was, what a lovely boat, what a lovely ride, what a lovely day. What a lovely person you are to do this. And because of that, more opportunities come their way. But the minute they start judging, you're wealthy, you must have a great income, you must do this, you, no way. These are little things that we teach you, not to be touched by the world around you, just to live in the world that you're in and be a happy, wonderful, fantastic person. Can you do that? Can you be a happy, fantastic, wonderful person? Can you be happy in yourself without having something on the outer there? When a teacher is ever in your presence, whomever you may call teacher, give the teacher all the attention you can, even if you're doing other things, even if you're putting the dishes away or wiping off the table. So long as your teacher is there, pay attention to what he says. Don't go off into your own conversations until after the teacher leaves. Because while the teacher is there, anything that the teacher says could be something that might be meaningful to you. And if the teacher draws your attention and says, oh, and you were thinking of something else, or you were off in some other dream world or real world, don't say, why'd you bother me? I was doing something else. And that's what you do do. That's what you do do. Sometimes I even speak to you and call you by name and you don't hear me because you're somewhere else. Now, whenever your teacher is present, be aware. Your teacher stays away from you quite a little bit to give you time to be yourself and have fun and be independent and think your own thoughts. But when your teacher is with you, give your teacher all the attention you can so that you get all the benefit you can from what you're experiencing. So, teaching things. It's a good thought. Are you ready for that? I think you are. I love you.